The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with the Saints head coach, and that is interim Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Coach Rizzi, I know this has been a tough day for you and for many people at Saints camp all the way around. It's what you ascend to do, but not the way that you wanted to get there. Just your overall thoughts. It's been a few hours now. It's 7 o'clock. Things have set in a little bit. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike. First of all, appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind. Obviously, I'd be lying to you if I told you it wasn't a little bit of a crazy day. Started off obviously this morning with the change, and then really been kind of hit the ground running. And obviously, there's a lot of moving parts here, and in terms of talking with all the different department heads and the coaches and the players, try to really touch as many people as possible today, just to kind of get a beat on the building. And anytime you go through a change like this, it's not easy. It kind of makes you step back and realize just how sacred and these jobs are. And then at the end of the day, this is a business. It's a production business. And, I think I said this in my press conference, there's a personal side to this that sometimes gets lost. I've been working with Dennis now for 6 years, and, we've developed a friendship. And so, listen, at the end of the day, a man lost his job today. And so that's the difficult part. At the same time, it's where we are. And, I've been honored by, Mrs. Benson and by Mickey and the rest of the organization to lead the ship moving forward. And, that part's an honor and a blessing. So there's definitely some mixed emotions, a little bit of a bittersweet day, to say the least.
Now, Coach Rizzi, when you look at it, a great opportunity. You only get so many opportunities like this in your life, and you want to put your stamp on things, but you can't do everything. You have to be able to delegate authority. I mean, is it still in your wheelhouse that I'm going to try and be part of the special teams of Coach Galliano to make that the best it could be? It seems like we've been in that category in the top 5 year in and year out. And let Coach Kubiak, because you're not going to tell Coach Kubiak, you might say whether we're going for it or not, and say, oh, run this play or whatever. Or even on the defensive side, you're going to trust Coach Woods. Well, what is your role now going forward? Is it like on a personal level with the players? And picking their mind and maybe getting them motivated. So just talk about that to the fans, about you being the head coach now. The New Orleans Saints, there's only 32 jobs like that. It might be interim, but if you win, then all of a sudden you have that on your resume, and that bodes well for you in the future.
Yeah, no doubt, Bobby. I think that's a great question. I mean, obviously, in the middle of a season like this, anytime there's a change at the top, you have to evaluate everything. I think the most important part right now is understanding where we are and get a heartbeat on the locker room and like I said, I touched and talked to just about all the players today in some way, shape, or form. The second thing is, and so listen, at this point, the leadership role is the number one most important thing in my opinion. And so that's where I need to be. I need to be a leader of the organization. At the same time, from a football standpoint, yes, I definitely still have a hand in the special teams. I'm very, very fortunate to have a coach like Phil Galliano, who really should be a special teams coordinator. He's by far one of the better special teams coaches in the league. I'm very, very – the organization is blessed to have him here. And so we're going to bring in another guy that I've worked with before, who fortunately for me right now is going to be able to come down. His name is Marwan Maloof. Marwan worked with me at a couple different spots, the Dolphins and as well as Rutgers. I've known him a long, long time, and he's a veteran special teams coach. He's going to come in and help us in that area as well, and take a little bit off my plate in terms of the day to day. You know, kind of the quality control type of work, and he knows our system. And he was my assistant before Phil was in Miami, and so kind of a hit the ground running there. And so for sure, I'm going to have a hand in the special teams, and we're going to keep trying to do things the way we've been doing them. As far as Clint and Joe go, I'm going to let them do their jobs. Listen, I think Clint's done a hell of a job. I know that our record is what it is, so I'm not blind to that. But I think we've done a lot of good things offensively this year, and we've had a lot of moving parts. There was a lot of positives to take out of the game the other day, but I think Clint's a great young mind. I think he's a great coach. I think he's done a great job of stepping into a tough situation. So I'm going to let him, obviously he's going to call the plays and keep doing what he's doing on offense. Certainly I'm going to handle the game management part of it, which I've been doing for the last couple of years. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And then Joe Woods is a veteran defensive coach who's been a coordinator. We have some veteran coaches on that side of the ball. You got Joe Woods. You got a guy like Peter Gentu who's got 3 Super Bowl rings. You got a guy like Marcus Robertson and Mike Hodges. All these guys that have and Brian Young's a guy that's been here. You got all these guys that have some veteran coaches here that kind of know what we've been doing. And listen, we haven't played a lot of great defense. That's not a surprise to anybody. There's been things we got to get cleaned up, but we've done a pretty good job around here defensively. We got to get back to our basics and all that. So, I think the short answer to your question is I think the number one thing is going to be the leadership role for me, and then secondary for me would be the special teams and the game management.
Now, Coach Rizzi, the one thing we have to do, I don't care who's the head coach, it's the NFL. It's a cliche type of answer, or I should say a statement, but how you close out games. I mean, come on, it's a fine, thin line, whether you win or lose. I just look at the Eagles so close with so far. I look at the Falcons even yesterday. I mean, stupid penalties, whatever. I know you address that with the team. You look at penalties, to me, that's a lot of that's mental and your discipline. And then to me, whether it be concentration or technique, missed tackles, drop passes, you can go on and on that I think individually you can influence players. But the one thing, I'm looking in the latter part of the game, and you might have questioned this or not, and this might be something with Coach Kubiak, but it's 4th-and-4. Why in the hell are we throwing the ball 30 yards down the field? We just need to get in field goal range. To me, that was a bad call or maybe a bad read by Derek Carr. I mean, to me, those little bitty things, that costs you whether you win or lose. And will you be involved maybe in those certain situations? Obviously, whether you're going for it on 4th-and-down or not. But if we just close out games in the proper way, you're probably not the head coach today.
Yeah, you know what, Bobby, you're right. There's really no arguing that point. We haven't done a good job of closing out some games that we, had a really, really good opportunity to win. I think there's 3 games that come to mind, and then all of a sudden we're in a different position. And so I agree with you. Like I said, yes, I'll have a hand in, the game management part of it, whether we're in 4th-and-down situation, whether we're in, field goal range, whether we're going to go for it, all those different things, timeouts. We got to do a better job there, too. I mean, we wasted a couple timeouts in the beginning of the second half yesterday because for different reasons. And so, listen, as I said this morning in my presser, everything is being evaluated from the top to the bottom. I can promise you that. And we're going to make sure that when we take the field on Sunday, that we get some of these things cleaned up. There's got to be more accountability with the penalties, like you said. It's really hard to win a game in this league when you have over 100 yards of penalties. That's might as well give 7 points to the opposition. You know, we can't have 10 penalties for over 100 yards. And a couple of those were self-inflicted. And so that's the areas we got to get cleaned up. I agree with you. We got to clean up the penalties. We got to clean up, you know, people call them football sins, right? Self-inflicted negatives. And we got to get rid of those. And that's, we got to do, before we can even attack the opponent, we got to learn not to beat ourselves. And so there's a lot of valid points that you make, you know, as far as play calls go and all that. Like I said, I'm going to let Clint does a great job. You don't have to agree with every single call. The last play of the game, that might have been a read or, you know, whatever defense they were in, you know, certainly. But there's a lot of plays along. We really shouldn't have been in that situation to begin with, quite frankly, in my opinion. We should have been, at that point, we should have been in the lead. And so you can look back at a bunch of different plays throughout the course of that game and point the finger at. So, I, you know, really shouldn't have come down to that one. But, listen, I'd be lying to you, and I'd be lying to the fans if I told you that we don't have to be better finishers, because we do.
You are listening to Saints interim coach Darren Rizzi. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. We are back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network, our weekly visit. Now with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach. And earlier today you talked about change, needing change. You can't do the same thing and expect different results, and that means evaluating everything and everybody, including like practices and schedules. And my question is, I always kind of felt like the CBA dominated that zone and that area so much that you didn't have as much flexibility as you want. Do you?
Well, I think it depends how you look at it, Mike. I guess it's all perspective. So there's only so many padded practices that you're allowed to have throughout the course of the weeks and throughout the course of the season. And so if you look at it that way, then yes, you're a little bit limited on full padded practices and things like that. So that for sure, the new CBA kind of limits you, from that standpoint. But as far as, you know, the periods, the way you run them, how many plays you run, the tempos, all that different thing, the daily schedule, you know, you obviously have some flexibility there. So, and again, like you said, that's all the stuff we're evaluating.
Now, Coach Rizzi, you know, I thought this was interesting. I mentioned to you about closing out games, but this has caught my attention. Because, you know, you go in halftime, you make halftime adjustments, and it ain't been too good in the third quarter. We've been outscored 44-22, 2-1 in that third quarter. So what would you maybe do differently, halftime adjustments? Because it seems like whatever we've been doing, the opponent has had the edge coming out in the third quarter.
Yeah, listen, Bobby, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's one of those things that's a little bit overrated with halftime adjustments. By the time you get into the locker room and you go to the bathroom, you got to turn around and go back outside. So halftimes are kind of short. I think we got to do a better job of playing four quarters of complementary football. That's what we need to do a better job of. And we've had peaks and valleys. We've had some really good stretches of football, and then we've had some really poor stretches of football. Our consistency, in my opinion, is the thing that's got to get better. And that's where, you know, I think we can make the biggest jump. You know, you mentioned it. We've had some good first halves. We've had some good, you know, out the gates and things like that. And then all of a sudden in the second half, you know, maybe we disappeared a little bit overall. So I also feel like we've hit a little bit of those stretches where the offense is playing good and the defense isn't, and vice versa. You know, or maybe, you know, we have a special teams blunder in the Falcons game where Shaheed fumbles. And so, you know, here's what I'm looking. I'm looking for us to go out this Sunday and try to play as complete a football game as possible, a complementary game where all three phases are helping each other out and getting on the same page for four quarters, not this peak and valley stuff. So, in my opinion, it's the consistency that's got to get better.
Now, you know, Coach Rizzi, you know, this day and age and, you know, the way the rules are structured and, you know, how they call the game, they want the offense to have success and, you know, they want to see points instead of a, you know, 13-10 type game. But I don't care. I'm kind of old school football with that as long as, you know, if your team wins. But the question I have for you, it seems like that the pattern, you know, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. And you have to feel blessed and have this opportunity. It's only 32 opportunities to be a head coach in the world's greatest game, that being the National Football League, American Football League. So I know you don't take that for granted. But the question I have for you, what would you like be a selling point? So you're interviewing with an owner or a general manager, and you've done these interviews in the past, and then all of a sudden, oh, we want to go on the offensive side of the ball. Now, you've seen defensive coordinators become head coaches, but who would be the poster child for a special teams coach who's been unbelievable as a head coach? Is it John Harbaugh with the Ravens? That's the individual that comes to my mind. But what is your take on that? Because I think if you're a leader, you're a leader, whether you're coaching offense, defense, or special teams. But just pretend I'm the owner or whatever and sell me on you. I mean, why I should hire you instead of maybe an outstanding offensive coordinator?
Well, I think that's a great, by the way, I love the question. And I'm going to start off by saying this. You're right. I am honored. And I am blessed. And I'm very grateful and thankful to Mrs. Benson and to Mickey for giving me this opportunity, because you're right. There's only 32 of these in the entire, world. And right now I'm in one of the seats. So I don't take that lightly. I don't take the people of New Orleans lightly. I don't take our fan base lightly. This is a big deal. This is an important thing. And I think the one thing, if I'm selling, and by the way, the best comparison would be John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is a guy that, obviously had a great background in special teams. And you can argue right now he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. Bill Belichick is another guy that was a special teams coordinator. Marv Levy was another guy that was a special teams coordinator. Bill Cowher was another guy that was a special teams coordinator. There's been a lot of successful head coaches in this league that have been, grew up and cut their teeth in special teams and went on to be, very, very good head coaches. I would say this on me, Bobby. I'll tell you what, I think my passion probably comes through the phone a little bit. I think I'm a really good leader. I've been doing this now. This is my 32nd season. I've been 16 college, and this is my 16th year in the NFL. I've coached on all sides of the ball. It's probably one of the things that fans don't know about me is I've been a defensive coach. I've been a defensive coordinator. I've been an offensive coach. I've obviously been a special teams coordinator, and I was a head coach on the collegiate level at the lower levels. At one point in 1999, I was the youngest head coach in NCAA. I was 28 years old, and I was the youngest head coach. And so I was very, very fortunate to get a lot of experience at a young age and kind of baptism by fire, if you will. And so there's no doubt in my mind that I'm prepared to be in this seat. It's been a long time coming. This is not the way, like Mike said earlier, really not the way I envisioned it. But you know what? The situation is what it is, and here I am. And I got a lot of eyes on me. I got the players, the coaching staff, the front office, the fan base, the city, the media, everybody. And I know this. I have a ton of confidence in what we're going to be doing, and I got a ton of confidence that I know what it takes to win in this league. So, I could argue that special teams coaches might be the most prepared coaches in the building to be head coaches because they deal with the same with all the players on a daily basis. They're the one coach in the building besides the head coaches up there in front of the team on a daily basis, and they're great, usually great game managers, and they're really, really good situational coaches. So I think those are the things I bring to the table.
Well, in the words of, when Jim Mora left, and he said, somebody's got to drive this train, right? Somebody's got to drive the train in 1996, and that is going to be you. That's interim head coach Darren Rizzi. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk more with Coach Rizzi. This is our weekly visit with the Saints head coach, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Welcome back to Visit Pensacola, Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Our weekly visit with Saints interim head coach Darren Rizzi as of today. By the way, Rick Venturi was the name I was searching for. Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Coach, a couple of quick ones before Bobby takes over. And after the Shamar John Charles interception, you're leading 22-17, 4th-and-1 at your own 46. Derek Carr ended up trying to draw him offside. You took the delay. The question is, was there really any thought to going for it there? And then secondly, talk about the Matthew Hayball fake and kind of how that all worked out? And was that, did he have the final say in that, if it was going to work?
Yeah, let's start with the fourth and one. Listen, in hindsight, looking back on it, we probably should have went for it. I think analytics tells you to go for it there. I didn't think the draw offsides play was a bad call, but we also could have called timeout there and then reloaded the deck and went for it. So, you know, in hindsight, I can understand, we did punt the ball back to them there and maybe looking at that one, that's one we'd like to have back. As far as the fake goes, listen, that's something that we've had up all season. That plus many other fakes. That particular fake was a check. We like the look. Taysom and Matt could have got out of the look if they want, kind of like an audible on an offensive play. We had the look we wanted, and Matt took off and. The Australian Flash was running for his life, but good for him. I was happy for him. I saw some stat that he had the most miles per hour for a punter since like 2018 or something crazy. The last 6 years, one of those next gen deals.
Stats.
One of those next gen deals, one of those GPS deals. So I was laughing at that one, but heck of a play by him and something we've been repping and working on. Just we happened to opportunity in the game. So
now, Coach Rissy, how is because I always said this. You go to college, you might have been in the same situation. You go to high school, maybe you knew what you were going to major in. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to business administration. I don't know, major in marketing. In hindsight, if I knew I was going to be a coach or playing the quarterback position, damn, I want to be a psychologist. I'm going to major in psychology, maybe get my doctorate or something, because how you treat, a team, it's not an individual like golf or tennis, but how do you treat a team? You might say, oh, we treat everybody the same. No. Bill Parcells did not treat Lawrence Taylor like other players. It's just the way it is. How can you push the right buttons to motivate them? I know you probably have a plan versus older experienced places like a Double D, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. You can go on and on versus young players. How do you get them to mesh together and they're all pulling on the rope the same? You're in a tug of war. And then all of a sudden that maybe the older player might be wiser, but maybe not on the level when he was younger as far as making unbelievable impactful plays, but he can have the instincts. But getting the younger part of your team to mesh with the older players, because if they don't come together, the opponent will always find what's the weakest link, how you're trying to stop them.
Well, Bobby, ironically enough, my major in college was speech communication, and that's why I try to make my answers longer than your questions. So that was my major in college. So I wasn't a psych major. You mentioned Bill Parcells. I have a great quote from Bill Parcells. You talk about treating the team, fairly. And he had a great quote that fair didn't mean the same. Cam Jordan and, Isaiah Foskey play the same position. Cam Jordan's been playing in the NFL for a lot longer. We're going to treat everybody fairly. That doesn't mean we treat them the same. And I thought that quote from Coach Parcells always kind of carried its weight with me. And I always thought that was a good one. I think our roster has a very unique balance of older veterans and a lot of younger guys. We've got a lot of younger guys playing for us right now. We just do. That's the way our roster makeup is. And so there is a delicate balance there. There is a fine line. And, Alvin Kamara and Jordan Mims, they're not maybe not getting the same amount of reps during the week or, whatever it is. So, listen, I had a great meeting today with the leadership of our team, our captains, Alvin and Marshawn. And I tell you what, I walked out of that meeting with the leadership of our team as excited for this opportunity and really with a really positive feeling. And so those guys, I think it's important that our leaders lead. And I think it's really, really important that our best players play the best possible ball they can play. And you know what? Our young players have to stop playing like young players. And we're at the point of the season where we're going to need those guys. If they have a Saints jersey on, and they got a fleur-de-lis on their helmet. We need them to show up and play on Sundays, and no one really cares about what year they're in and how they got here and where they came from. And so that's where we got to get better. It's that consistency thing I mentioned earlier.
Well, Coach Darren Rizzi, you got 8 games to make a statement, and it begins with the first-place Atlanta Falcons in Caesars Superdome. Thank you for your time tonight, and we look forward to speaking with you down the road.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate you guys and your passion for the Saints. I look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thanks.
Trizzy, plug the Falcons.
That's right, plug the Falcons. Let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to bring in the assistant coach, Derek Foster, the running backs coach. What a day for Alvin Kamara and that running game. That is coming up next. We'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and let's go behind the scenes with this week's assistant coach, that being the running backs coach, Derek Foster. That's brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Coach Foster, appreciate the time. You kind of drew the short stick because of what happened today. These things are laid out in advance. But on the other hand, you got Alvin Kamara running for 155. The team rushes for 197. From an offensive running back standpoint, this was the kind of outing that you've been looking for the last few weeks.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on, by the way. Mike, you know, Bobby, I appreciate it. And, yeah, very unfortunate circumstances. But, you know, contrary to your question there, yeah, it was a very good outing to see these guys come out and rush the way that they rushed. And I think that's accredited to, you know, everybody that has a hand in this deal, all the way from the offensive coordinator down to the offensive line and the receivers that's blocking on the perimeter for these backs to find these lanes. And, you know, I thought both backs, both, you know, and mainly Alvin, took advantage of the opportunities that he was given. And so you like the results statistically, but you don't like the end result of losing the game. So that's the unfortunate part.
Now, Coach Foster, this is okay. We're in the running back room, and you know, Saints fans want to know this, and you know how you motivate different players. Alvin Kamara is amongst the best in the NFL, but you got a guy like Jamal Williams. You bring him over from the Lions, and then all of a sudden, bang for your buck, maybe not performing like we would like him to perform. Then you have Taysom Hill. He might be in your meeting room now and then, and then you got Kendre Miller. He's talking about he's coming here. Man, I'm going to take over for Alvin Kamara. You better slow your roll, young dude. I mean, I'm like, what? You better humble yourself. And Kendre Miller, he's hell when he's well. He's averaging right at 6 yards a carry, but he's never available. How do you handle all those individuals? Because all these, if you're a stud running back, and you know you get to the NFL, you know you got an ego. So how do you keep everybody humble, or maybe keep them hungry or try to get them hungry to want to be in that number?
No, that's a great question. You know, I've always taken the approach, each player is different, right? And I think that's the unique thing about being a coach, is that you try to do the best job you can to learn each player, you know, individually and build a relationship so that way you try to understand them, you know, better, how they operate, you know, what's their thought process, how do they learn, you know, each guy learns differently. And you talk about motivation. I think a lot of these guys have, you know, a lot of confidence in their game, you know, so it doesn't take a whole lot of motivating to get them going, especially, you know, guys like Alvin and Jamal and Taysom, who's seen a lot of football in the NFL. Those guys come prepared. They're pros. each week and each day they come in the building and, you know, take care of the business. You know, Kendre, on the other hand, he's kind of learning from those guys. He's got great examples in front of him. And so, you know, my message to him is consistently just telling him to continue to build his routine, continue to figure out how to be a pro, and kind of control what you can control. You know, it's been very unfortunate for him, you know, throughout these last couple years in the NFL, just not the start that he expected, obviously. And, you know, you respect the guy's confidence. You know, I really do. I commend him for his confidence. But at the end of the day, you know, there's things that you really have to take care of and there's things that you can't control. And the injury portion being one of those. So the best thing he can possibly do is do everything he possibly can to continue to get himself well so that he can get himself back out on the field so he can prove himself a little bit.
Yeah, Coach Foss, he's like a damn Lamborghini Ferrari. I mean, all of a sudden, boy, did you see that run? Or he took it around the track, and then, I don't know, got to change the spark plug or whatever, and then he's not available. And, you know, if he's a student of the game and he likes history, and then you'd want to be the best of the best, tell him to go look at a couple of old Saints running backs that the Saints fans embrace. And look what they were drafted in, or free agents, where they were. Look at Chris Ivory and look at Kyrie Robinson, how those dudes were animals. Right now, the Saints fans ask me, man, when are we going to get another Kyrie Robinson or Chris Ivory to help out Alvin Kamara? I get that all the time. And I know you're the running back coach, and, you know, Taysom's part of that deal. But I tell you, just being honest, the fan base has been disappointed in Jamal Williams and Kendre Miller.
Yeah, no, you know, it's unfortunate that they haven't probably had the production and outing that, you know, people expect and hold them to a standard. But I will say this, that they're constantly working to try to improve themselves day in and day out. Obviously, you don't see the results a lot of times on Sunday. But I see the process that they go through every week and every day. And their jobs are harder than anybody in terms of exactly what they have to do, you know. And but I will say this, just for them, speaking for them and them not being here, you know, they put in the work, they put in the time. And, you know, my message to those guys is just keep sawing wood, keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully, you know, it'll break through for you. And so the production is not there, but I can guarantee you this, that the work that they're putting in has been consistent week in and week out.
Coach, how much emphasis this week between yourself, Clint Kubiak? We talk a lot about the inefficiency on third down, but really the problem area has been first and second down. And so I was just curious about the impact and the emphasis this week, because I'm just going to read a few. On first down yesterday, plus 20, plus 5, plus 10, plus 5, plus 6, plus 9, incomplete, plus 5, minus 1, plus 3. So, I mean, that's just a few of them. But, I mean, it just felt like, and especially running the football on first down, that was going to be something that this offense wanted to make a statement.
Yeah, we put a lot of emphasis on it. I think Clint does a very good job of emphasizing that week in and week out. And it's echoed amongst, you know, the other coaches as well. You know, we follow up with that to emphasize, like, hey, we can't put ourselves in a hole on first and second down. We got to come out and be efficient as possible as we can and, you know, try to avoid things that will put us in a hole or put us in a second and long situation as much as possible. And so, you know, I think our guys try to take pride in that. And obviously we understand the obvious reasons, whether it's a penalty here or holding there or, you know, some false start or whatever the case may be, whether it's a negative, you know, a negative play. And so the emphasis is that we go to practice every day to prepare our players, and they do the same to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do on each play. So it's been very much so emphasized, and I think he's doing a really good job of echoing that message. We just got to go out and execute and continue doing our job.
Now, Coach Foss, you look at that running back meeting room and obviously how practices are structured. When you look at, you know, scout team and you want to give a good look to the defense, and you are running back and you are practicing, you're on the roster, whether on the practice squad or on the active roster, you can go on and off the roster. Just comment on maybe the progression, because they know the task at hand, that being Jordan Mims from Fresno State, or a Louisiana guy from UL and Lafayette, a Raging Cajun, Jacob Cabote. So how do you interact with them? Because you got to interact with them different than you would Alvin Kamara. I mean, it just stands for reason that you're going to treat them or try to coach them up differently than you would a guy like Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, that's a great question. With those guys like that, it's about continuing to develop. And so with those guys, sometimes you, after practice, you spend a little extra time with developing their skill sets. You know, no rock goes unturned, and there's not a moment that those guys are not even asking questions or, you know, wanting to improve and get better. And so what I try to do with those individually is make sure that we're focusing on fundamental football and getting better at the fundamentals of football on and off the field, whether that's in the classroom or that's on the field. And so what we try to do is replicate what we learned in the classroom and then take it to the field with those type of guys. And just staying ready when the opportunity comes. And so when you're on scout team, you know, you treat it just like any other rep. You make sure your eyes are in the right place. You make sure that your hand placement's in the right place if you got a pass protection to pick up without, you know, hurting the other guys, you know what I mean, or cutting anybody down for that matter. But just making sure that you're using fundamentally techniques so you can continue to get better and take advantage of those reps. Those reps for you are like game reps, and they don't go unnoticed. So that way when your number is called, you're ready to go. So it's a continuing developing you know, process for both of them. And yeah, everybody gets coached, you know, a little differently in terms of what they I feel like they need, but everybody's hearing the same message, and that's to continue to grow and develop in their role.
Well, Coach Foster, we appreciate your time. I cannot believe we've gotten this far and Bobby has not mentioned Northwestern State, Louisiana. Bobby, are you not paying attention over there? Man, coach to Northwestern State.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm trying to stay humble.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
You know, and stuff.
There's a first for everything, I guess.
Yeah, the fellow demon, yeah.
That's right. Coach Foster, best of luck. We appreciate your time. It's your first year in New Orleans. I mean, it's not always like this. You still got 8 games. Make the best of it. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, Bobby, we'll say goodnight to you, my friend. As always, excellent job. When we come back, we're going to bring in Mike Dettillier. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Keep it right here. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettillier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, as we go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike Dettillier, tomorrow is the NFL trade deadline. It's Election Day, November 5th, but November 4th. That'll be only the Saints can make November 4th as kind of the way it was today. But it was a day to remember, unfortunately.
It's sort of a whirlwind because, you know, Bob and I were talking about that on second guess. You're one of 32. Just think of that. One of 32 in the world doing what you're doing. And when that guy leaves his job, man, that's a big story. Not only locally, but nationally. I mean, I can't do all these shows one after the other. People want you to do it here and there and to talk about it, but it goes to show you the impact of what the NFL is, of that being such a huge story when a head coach loses his job. And so, again, you know, we wish, you know, Dennis Allen well. And he'll coach again. He'll be a defensive coordinator somewhere in the National Football League. But my thing is, and I tell this to a lot of people, the hardest thing in life is to move away from what happened and move to the future. I can't do nothing about tomorrow, okay? I can't do nothing about what happened yesterday. I can do something about tomorrow. And for the Saints, that has to be priority. And for players, your contract's guaranteed all year long because you're on the 53. But if you're not going to be here and you want to extend your playing career, everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. The whole football world watches you when you're out on the field. So it's important down the stretch how this team plays. And we understand the personnel issues they have today. But, I think Darren Rizzi was the only choice to be made to be put in that spot. He's a high-energy guy. And with his background, he's touched on both the offensive, defensive side of the ball very much. Players that have been involved in that manner one way or another. And the fact that, you know, Phil Galliano, one day he's going to be a special teams coordinator in this league.
Right. Well, and then think about, you know, and I'm going to have a question about Coach Rizzi, but it's not just that it's a different head coach. It's a different defensive coordinator. It's Joe Woods. He called plays in the preseason, but it's a new defensive coordinator and a new coach in Rizzi. So if you really go back and look at Rizzi, to me, one of the most interesting things about him, he's hired in Miami in 2009 as an assistant special teams coach and becomes the special teams coach, Tony Sparano. But then Sparano gets fired and Todd Bowles comes in, and then Joe Philbin comes in, and then Philbin gets fired and Dan Campbell comes in, and then he goes away and Adam Gase comes in. And you know what the coaches do? The first thing they do when they get control is they clean house, right? And they did that in Miami, except, for the most part, Darren Rizzi. You ever heard of look what he survived. He survived like three separate organizational changes, and they kept him. I mean, that speaks a lot about the man's leadership.
You know, again, going back to what we talked on Sports Talk, I remember Brad Holmes, the general manager of the Lions, talking about, people ask him, why are you picking Dan Campbell, you know, and that sort of thing. And he was like, you know, one of the things I really studied when he was an interim head coach of the Miami Dolphins and how he handled not the most ideal situation in the world and how hard his teams played. And I think, you know, when you know everything about the league, special teams-wise, and the new rule on the kickoff actually came from Darren Rizzi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That was his suggestion. So other people had to vote that in. It wasn't the special teams coaches. You know, that came from above them. It goes to show the kind of respect that people have league-wide for Darren Rizzi. And I think it's just part of his personality that he is a high-energy guy. You know, if you do something wrong, he's going to let you know about it and fast. That was not Dennis Allen's personality. And you can't fake that because players, man, they sniff it out if you're phony with that or not. I think with Darren Rizzi, what you got is the real McCoy. What you see off the field is the same guy on the field.
Very much so. And so, let's move on to the next opponent, brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, first in service. And, oh, yeah, it's just the first-place Atlanta Falcons who come to town 6-3 after they drilled Dallas. The Saints let one get away week 4 in Atlanta, and who knows how things could or would be different. But this is an Atlanta Falcons team that has some momentum, clearly, but will make some mistakes along the way, and you got to take advantage of that. You know, Alante Taylor, who's been just such a stud all year, you know, you get your hands on two footballs like yesterday, you got to make, you know, Cousins pay like you should have made Bryce Young pay.
Yeah, I thought early in the season, Kirk Cousins almost seemed to be mummy-like, okay? And I'm not saying he can run around like Michael Vick today, but I think he's more comfortable to move in the pocket and to make that throw. And we all know one thing. He's had some great games against the Saints. I don't care if he's played with Washington, the Vikings, he's in Atlanta. He has sort of had the Saints' number. But the thing about it is to get pressure on him. I think that upsets him more than he don't like people falling at his feet. The one thing with the Falcons, other than the Lions, they may have the best offensive line in pro football. And their ability to run the ball, and they pretty doggone good in pass protection too. And we've seen kind of an emergence of Kyle Pitts. As Kurt has got to get used to him, we have seen him become more of a big play guy. Most people couldn't name you their linebacking core. People might say Onyemata and Grady Jarrett. Okay, those two. But, man, you know, it's a sort of a no-name defense. A.J. Terrell at corner. And then they go get the two safeties, you know, and they spend a lot of money on Jesse Bates. A lot. He's paid off for them. And then they go out and get Simmons, you know, right before the season starts. So you can see why they're in first place. And they're playing better on defense. I don't think it's a great unit. It's solid. But Kirk Cousins is going to have you on your heels all the time. You better get pressure on him. And my thing is get pressure on him from right up the middle. Make him move. He becomes a different passer.
That he will. Noon on Sunday, Caesar Superdome. As always, appreciate your time. Mike Dettelier, say the same thing for Bobby sitting next to you there. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Oz. Appreciate it.
Mike Dettelier and Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. My thanks to Charlie Long and, of course, Saints head coach, interim head coach, Darren Rizzi. I think tomorrow we lose the interim aspect of that. And Derek Foster, the running backs coach. It's the Saints and the Falcons as the black and gold try to end that 7-game skid. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. We'll look for you next time.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.